Hello, our friends, Evolutionary Energy Arts family.
Hello there. Welcome back.
Well, this is a special one that we want to do for you guys, because right now, Cindy's already contacted Babaji, for those of you that understand and know of who Babaji is. Literally, the words Babaji is like our divine father teacher. And that is exactly who he is in so many ways. And he's going to be with us transmitting during this video.
Right. And his energy is very, very, very powerful. So I might be a little bit short on words because of that. But trust, he's right behind us. He's transmitting now. And he really wants to send his blessings and love.
The thing that we really want to get through to you guys, like, we did a video over on Evolutionary. And I'm glad that we decided to put it up on Evolutionary, because this one... where that was exposing the dark side for what it is. And this is more about exposing the light side for what it is, which is pure love and oneness and understanding. And being that we have been enveloped in this dark matrix, our understanding of just how beautiful and benevolent the beings that you've been made afraid of in many cases, it's just mind-boggling, the love on the other side. And I wanted to find a better picture of this because it's so blurry, but then they were bogging it down so I couldn't get the computer to work because of Babaji's energies. And really, some of it could be because when Cindy and I get into a very high vibrational place, and then certainly when Babaji comes into the room, it's incongruous. The energy of a high vibrational nature is incongruous with the technology that's being used to slave humanity, basically.
Yeah, that's very, very common, so we might be dealing with that throughout.
So this is a quote from Hans Peter Dohr, who is a German physicist, a scholar in nuclear and quantum physics. And he said, whenever I give a lecture on quantum physics, I feel as if I'm talking about Vedanta. So what's Vedanta? Again, if you really want to go deep into understanding how, if we call it the universe, well, there's more than one universe. Do we call it a multiverse, or does that limit it itself? There's no term for all that there is, because as soon as you name something, you're missing something.
Then you've labeled it, and then you've placed it in a box.
And you can't place it in a box. There is an ultimate source of all things. There is a creator of this universe who is a benevolent, beautiful being that really wants everybody to grow and expand and to learn. And that's why this particular 3D universe, 3D, 4D, and higher dimensional universe, that's why this one is in existence. It's all about soul growth.
A lot of soul growth.
Absolutely. What I found particularly fascinating and satisfying about the Hindu tradition was its spirit of inclusiveness. In Sanatana or Satan Dharma, or what this particular person commonly calls Hinduism, I discovered the basic truths of all religions in a way that the oneness of God and religion is comprehensively understood. And really, if you go deep too, if you go deeper and deeper and deeper, you'll find that it's not really a religion. And again, you can't even, how could you possibly label the truths behind all that there is and still come up with something that's accurate in and of itself? So Cindy's right now grasping with the energy. The Sanatana Dharma, as we know it today, has survived many challenges over the millennia, withstood the test of time. Absolutely. And again, we have to recognize that every tradition, religious, philosophical, historical, anything that potentially can give humanity freedom has been, well, it's been infiltrated and distorted in order to keep the controllers in control. So there have been people Lake Sri Adi Shankara, who have come and tried to restore things in the darkest of ages, try to get us back to core issues. And again, one way you could be led down a dark road that leads to nowhere is in looking at details of things and finding faults in the details to the extent that we miss the big picture. And I think that happens time and time and time again. We lose track of the big picture. So there are these beings that come through, and they'll come through in all traditions, because there is no one chosen people. The very concept of a chosen people is something that, in the bigger scheme of things, the greatest truth of all just exposes that as a total misperception, misconception, and an outright lie of the dark controllers, because they want to elevate one above the other. When they do so, they're giving one group of beings a feeling of superiority. In the other ones, they're sowing the seeds of discontent and retribution, which again ends up sowing the seeds of nonstop conflict, division, hatred, arguing, fighting, bloodshed, a never-ending cycle that keeps us so far from the oneness that really is the underlying truth.
You'll have to forgive me. The energies are really strong. I'm hoping you guys can feel them and receive them. He's such a gentle, benevolent being, and he really wants to reach into your lives and be able to touch you in a way and give you information that's going to help you grow, that's going to help you bloom in this world in so many different ways and give you all the options you could ever need.
So we see this mummy. This is 100, and this is older now. I guess we would be at 170-ish years right now. 170-year-old mummy that has not decomposed. And this is a Buddhist Lama, Dashi Dorzo Iti Gelov. And he told when he transitioned, and let's use the word transition because some think his body is not really completely dead, more of a in a suspended state. And so he had left the instructions to bury him upright and in a lotus position. And, you know, some have even said that he moves in the middle of the night. And, you know, there again, others don't believe that. But that's not really the purpose. The purpose was, as you see the rainbow colors, again, signifying the rainbow body. The purpose was that he could make his body do what most people can't, even when his spirit was to be free of the 3D body. And so this is a fascinating thing to look at. Now, we've seen people with the rainbow body shrink, and in some cases there's nothing left but hair and nails, and it is not unusual for these monks to go into a meditative state, know they're going to be leaving the body, say to everyone else, guys, good knowing you, blessings upon you, I will be leaving in the next couple of days, and then they just go into a meditative state and they go. It's just that simple, and there's no pain. This is him, how he looked when he was fully alive in that body. There's no pain. It's an easy transition. And so, you know, this is something that we might view as miraculous, but, you know, we do find this in other traditions as well. We also talked about this yogi who recently just passed on. He spent 76 years without eating or drinking anything. Now, scientists confirmed twice a period of 21 days where he did not apparently eat or drink anything. Nothing. Scientists will tell you, you can't live for more than maybe 3 to 6 days max without drinking. Yes, we could live a long time without eating, but drinking, no. But yet he did it. But yet we can absorb moisture from our environment. And one of the first steps, I believe, is probably pore breathing, is learning how to pore breathe, which is a practice that Cindy and I do all the time, every single day. And we've done multiple videos on pore breathing. Again, coming over here, this is the mantra playlist, which I would heartily encourage people to delve into. And then you could also go and check out the healing through energy work, Qigong meditation, and Reiki. And yeah, there's so many things in here that will just open the door to new possibilities for you. And there are so many, and I'm going to give you a couple PDFs that might open up the doors to new possibilities as well. So, you know, here we've talked at length about the rainbow body in multiple videos and about ascending out of this body as a matter of choice when the time is right for us. And we don't have to confine ourselves to what science says is possible. There are many that have shown that. You look to Wim Hof nowadays. He's been monitored too, doing things that scientists would say would lead to death. And they haven't led to death. And he is somebody that practices his own breathing techniques and meditative techniques. So, you know, again, what they say is possible, well, we can do a lot better than that. And that monk was born in 1852. This is one of our guides, one of our main guides. This is Sri Anandamayima, an absolutely beautiful soul, who is also with us now as well. And she also was somebody that went long periods of time with fasting, not taking in water or food. She's also been credited with many miracles of healing. It's just kind of a natural state of being when you're in tune with the oneness of all things.
She's a really beautiful, benevolent being. She wants to convey to people that to your energies that you can build within and then you can receive from your ancestors can really help heal yourself and your loved ones. And she does encourage us to do that energy work, do the things that it takes to build those energies up inside of us so that we can head to more of a unified type of energy, so we can head to a more unified type of world where we don't need the external intruders, is what she calls them, to tell us how we need to take care of ourselves. She said it's all internal, it's all right there, look within.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a quote that's attributed to her. All sorrow is due to the fact that many are seen where there is only one. Again, if we realized that we're a cell in the body of the earth, would we allow the fracking? Would we allow all the poisoning and the toxicity? No. I mean, it's so clear just how much this system is against the oneness of all things, the realization of the oneness. And it starts by trampling down the mother that we walk upon in so many ways. And now you'll even find that, again, we talk about the purposeful division of the left and the right, just like dividing our brains into the left hemisphere and the right instead of the unity of using the two in harmony. So on the right side of things, and the powers that be understand this totally. This is why they are basically doing everything at their disposal to increase that division of the left against the right. You know, it started in the 60s in so many ways, but it started way before the 60s. That notion of drop out of society, well, that's the beginning. These people were not in the society, not taking part in the society like most people do. They were doing their own things. When we're talking about Sri Anandamayima, when we're talking about these Tibetan monks, when we're talking about the yogi that didn't eat for 76 years, they're walking the planet, yes, but they're not part of the system. And they were able to stay in the on the planet, but yet separate from the system. This is the type of thing that we have to cultivate for each of us. And where she went, miracles did happen. And it's because she's tapped into the oneness of all things. We can all tap into it. And when we do feel it, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming, the love, the peace. There is no contingencies. There's no do this and then you could be taken part of this love. No, they want to embrace us fully. And it's our own blocks that keep us from recognizing this.
Mm-hmm. It's traumas, it's our own blocks, it's our own belief systems. But to feel a love that you never thought was possible is very overwhelming, can bring you to tears, but it's something that floods your whole body with light.
When asked why she was in this world, Sri Ananda Mahima said, "In this world? I am not anywhere. I am myself reposing within myself." Think about that too. That's something you could meditate on. Again, she has been documented pretty thoroughly. And she was definitely a blessing upon the land. Many people got introduced to her through Yogananda's work. So this is a mantra that can definitely integrate us in to the divine feminine side of things. And we've done a video on this before. And the words might look very, very daunting and tough, but I'll give you guys this link to this video, which is absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. And just listening to this, you'll feel your energy change. So basically the words in Sanskrit are saying, on the tip of my palm lives Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth. In the middle lives Sarasvati, the goddess of knowledge, music, art, and science. And at its base lives Gauri, the goddess of power. So I see in my palm the morning. There's other translations to this as well, slight differences. There's different versions. But Kara Agre Vasite Lakshmi, Kara Made Sarasvati, Kara Mule Tu Govinda Prabhate Kara Darshanam. And you just repeat it 108 times. That sounds like a tongue twister. Give it time, it'll just flow. The mantras are made to open up your chakras. They're made to connect you through to the higher beings. And we're going even beyond fifth density here. We're talking very, very high density. We're talking amazing benevolent energies of love, light, and complete love, really life-changing love.
Life-changing love, you know, that kind of love, again, just it's the kind of love that so many of us never knew possible, but it is possible and it's very, very real. And remember, when we are engaging in these mantras, we're expanding our light, and we can expand our light over our loved ones, so our loved ones start to experience this type of expanding love as well.
Again, when we're in the dark ages, those energies dominate. These teachings come from the golden ages. So these teachings are not human in origin, not human at all, and they're not controller based in origin. So Autobiography of a Yogi is probably the first book a good chunk of people that are into the study of yoga, not the practice of, say, hatha yoga, but the study of yoga in total. Yoga, again, is union with the one, union with the divine. There's a PDF that you could pull out, and it'll give you all the different chapters, and read it for free. It's an easy, quick read. It's very easy, very quick. It's user-friendly. It's made for somebody that has no knowledge of yoga. So it's a good introduction. And it's just basically his autobiography. So it's his life story, as his purpose was to bring yoga to the West. And so he's talking to his master here in 26. Now, Sri Yukteswar, who gave us this particular cycle of the yugas concept as far as putting it down into a timeline, he is telling him of how his master actually encountered Babaji. And Babaji, again, is an amazing, amazing being. Thought to reside perhaps in Mount Kailash, which is also thought to be the abode of Shiva. In reality, Babaji is the teacher of many, many, many enlightened beings.
There is just so much information here, and we're in an age where it kind of makes it very difficult to bring understanding. But what I am being told right now by the beings that are here to get the most out of their frequency, they are asking everyone to rest and find a very pleasant feeling or a very pleasant emotion to allow their energies to go within your body, go within your heart, go within your mind. And this is going to unlock a lot of astral DNA that you carry, a lot of energetic DNA that you carry, and it's going to bring about removal of certain energetic blocks. And they're really just asking for people to bathe in this frequency they're sending through today.
And, you know, to give you as simple way as possible to connect to Babaji's energies, if you feel so inclined, again, these beings, it's more about connecting with their frequency through your heartfelt intent. So you'll find, unfortunately, in many cases, you'll have different groups and stuff that say, this is the most powerful mantra of all this. Just use this one. If you only knew this secret hidden mantra. Well, these beings are not like that. So you could simply do Om. Om, again, is the sound of the universe. Namo, that's just two little syllables right there. Na, N-A-M-O. Om Namo Babaji. That's all that you need to do. And you could do that in cycles of 108 times is the traditional. And that'll help to connect you to Babaji's energy. Just focus on that, and maybe focus on his face. Om Namo Babaji. Om Namo Babaji. Om Namo Babaji. That's it. And you could just stay in a meditative state, and you'll be connecting to him. So you can start to receive those downloads and information. And of course, in the Western Abrahamic tradition, the dark side doesn't want you understanding how you can connect to any of these beings. So they paint all these beings as being demons. But in reality, it's the demons that give us the dark side teachings, that there is a chosen people, that there's divisions that are intentional from source. No, not at all. This is simply a person's choice as to whether they want to stay in an uninformed, unenlightened state, or whether they're ready to make the change to wake up, whether their soul is really looking for something more in life, there's got to be something more, right? That feeling of, I can't put my finger on it, but I know there's something wrong with this system. There's something wrong with this world and the system that really governs the world. Well, it's because we've been cut off from the oneness of all, and we've been cut off from each other. We've been cut off from teachers of a benevolent nature and given teachers of a divisive nature. But again, it does take work. And none of these beings that we're talking about here, do you think that really the yogi that hasn't eaten in 70-something years could do that? If he was eating McDonald's every day and then all of a sudden decided, oh, you know what? I'm not going to eat anymore. No, obviously not. You have to cultivate the energies. You have to have that inborn, innate, strong desire to rise up and above this system that's in the world.
Mm-hmm. And you know, addressing our own traumas is one of the best ways that we can bring the light of somebody like Ananda Maima, Babaji, bring their light into our aura and understand their teachings and allow their teachings to penetrate us. They have to hit us very specific in accordance to our frequency, our belief system, our understanding, because we are all a facet of that one great big diamond, and we all receive their information in a different way, and that's why we want to allow that energy to come inside of us and sink in the way it's supposed to sink in through our specific frequency.
Yeah, and many people have channeled his energies again before. It is said that he is a immortal, and we all are in a way. Again, these bodies are just vehicles. So there are beings that have learned to not shed the body in the normal sense. They've learned to rise upwards in vibrational frequency and basically transmute their bodies and still be able to remanifest their bodies. So Babaji can appear as a totally physical being.
He has a lot of what we would call Christ consciousness energy is very much intertwined with him. So there are these beings that are together in the same soul stream that might reach people in different ways. But one thing they are not is they are not competitive. That's just really silly. They would never compete. What they want to see is their students, or they want to see those that look into their teachings. They want to watch them do better than them. They want them to become the greater teacher. And that's their secret to everything, is they're always wishing that those who come to them do better and far succeed what they could possibly do. That's their biggest dream. And that's such a beautiful thing, to take away the competitive nature of everyone. What does that leave? That leaves us an accepting, open, loving type of atmosphere that we can bring our children up in and assist them in arranging their lives in such a way that's going to make the most out of this human journey.
So, you know, the great truth about existence, the mysteries of the universe, the real purpose of life in general has been brought to all beings, and it is still latent, and you just have to tap into it. These beings, they all, as Cindy was saying, it might amaze you, and sometimes I'll ask her, you know, who's here right now? Because I could sense, I could see the energies, but I can't see them as clearly as she can. So to me, they appear as different energies, and I might recognize, you know, this peach-colored energy. I know that's Ganesha's energy. And then this one over here that feels like it could be, you know, Mother Mary. And I don't recognize this energy. Who is this one? But it's a benevolent energy, because, again, you could just sense these things. You could it's going beyond. You got to go beyond the indoctrination. You're never going to escape the control of the controllers until you develop your other senses. That's going to take a lot of time and going within. It's going to take a lot of deprogramming, deconditioning, and giving up of a lot of bad habits. When you look at these beings, you know, you're not going to find somebody that's, you know, doing all sorts of big FARMA. You're not going to find somebody that's eating certain foods. You're not going to find people that are drinking excessive amounts of alcohol or any of those mind-altering substances. The reality is, I have never felt any more positive, beautiful, amazing, mind-altering energies than in deep meditation, practicing Qigong, practicing yoga. There's nothing that compares to that transformative power that I've felt from my own personal experience with any other substance. All you need is within you. You don't need anything. There's no money in that. There's no control in that. Obviously, it's going to free minds, free souls, free hearts. This is obviously something that the controllers don't want. So again, Om Namo Babaji can connect you to Babaji's energies. So he is said to be an immortal, said to be thousands of years old, perhaps even the teacher of many other very, very well-known teachers. And so the message of Yeshua is one that's very distorted in this world. And when Cindy talks about Babaji's energies, they feel very Christ-like. They feel his energies, Yeshua's energies, they're very, very congruous.
Very much so. You know, you can tell they're from the same soul stream. There's just these subtle differences which let you know who is who. But you can definitely hone in on their differences, but still it's an energy that brings you to tears, and it gives you that feeling of love that you never thought you would ever know, or you never even knew existed. And it is very, very real. And when one of these beings comes to you, you look at them, you see what they are doing. If you want what they got, you do what they do. You know, you behave how they behave. And when you do that, you get what they got. But it takes work and time and effort, patience. But it comes with an awful lot of healing and love and joy and benevolence in your life.
And this is more than a life's work. This is the soul's work for multiple lives. Something else to keep in mind. What we do not fully actualize in this life, we still will have to actualize in other lives on our path back to source, so to speak. And again, each journey is an individual's journey. Some souls may stay incarnation hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of lives, and perhaps not even straying too far away in this vast creation from the original planet of incarnation, so to speak. Other souls, you know, may travel far and wide and experience life in multiple forms, multiple planes of existence, in not as many incarnations, and decide that they are done. You know, we're all unique, and that's the beauty. So when we go back to talking about the Sanatana Dharma, or that which most people would think of as the Hindu belief system, there are numerous paths. There are as many paths as there are individuals, but there is one truth. And what is the underlying truth? What is that great truth? All is one. That's it in a nutshell. It's when we start to recognize that we're all one. And some will say, well, how could that be? I can't stand looking at Hillary. I can't stand looking at Barack. I can't stand looking at 45. I can't stand looking at 46. Yeah, even there, again, it's cultivating the compassion and the forgiveness to enable us to forgive. Because again, forgiveness is for us. It's not for those that we forgive.
All life, and they mean all life, is to be honored and cherished and appreciated. All life that comes from source. But where we're at on that scale is up to us. It's up to us to individualize ourselves and decide. But when you hear from these beings, they will tell you all life is to be cherished.
And that's, you know, perhaps hard to understand. But again, it's just another thing to meditate on. And ultimately, these controllers, in their greed, they're just basically making their path harder. Longer, harder. They are sinking themselves neck deep, nose deep in the muck and the mire. And at some point in time, they're going to have to face it. Because we are eternal beings. We go on forever. Forever. Oh, the misery that can exist within the mind of those that feel abject horror, guilt, and just that sense of regret for their actions. Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
You know, so that's again why we must not allow ourselves to be pulled into that muck and mire with them. What revolution that has brought forth bloodshed has ever brought a lasting peace? The revolution that has to happen on the planet is one of consciousness and understanding. That will bring about permanent change, and that will take the system down.
Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of us going within.
And so if you really want to go deep within, look into the Yoga Sutras. Now, this is an interpretive translation. And the Yoga Sutras are dealing with stuff that it takes time. So just nibble at this. Nibble at this. So we start out, let's do 1-2. Yoga is the control of the modifications of the mind field. And so understanding yoga is union with the divine. So the first thing that we have to do is learn how to control the mind. And when you got that down, then move on.
Yeah.
Just think about how much is here. And this is why people, wait a minute. Okay, so tell me, all I got to do is say that Jesus is my savior and I could just get dunked in water and I'm going to heaven. I don't got to do anything else. Okay, I'll do that. But have you really done anything? You got to do the work. You have to do the work. It's not going to get done for you. So start with learning how to control your thoughts, learning how to control your mind, learning how to stay focused, learning how to not be distracted, learning how to eliminate negative thoughts when they come in, negative fears. This is all the preliminary practice. This is where we start, and that's where everything then flows from there.
You know, you can start by going over these things and talking with your children. You know, I know that they're children, but if they at least have just knowledge and information of this, then at some point as a child, they're going to experiment with it. And then you can have a relationship with your child as they grow. You grow with them, because this is not easy stuff to do. It is quite difficult. And you do have to take it in teeny tiny little bites, as if you're a child, as if you're a child yourself. You want to hold that mindset, that innocent mindset. And wherever the trauma started in your life, that's about the age that you can figure when your mind is evolving and you are growing up. At the time and point in your life where you had to move into a mode of survival, that's where things stop their evolution and you move into survival. So it really truly does help if you go back to the mind of a child, especially if you've had a lot of trauma, and start to look into these things, and then give yourself as long as it takes.
And so a combination of things. Okay, so that's what I mean when you start going deep into the Yoga Sutras. It might be overwhelming. It might be something that you're going to say, I have a better chance at memorizing the entirety of the legal code in the United States, or just stick with the tax code. We know how challenging that is, but you can simplify things. And so going through the Qigong listing and say doing some of these practices on a regular basis, the full class, the short class as well, things like pore breathing, that is so important. Pore breathing is really something that has helped me overcome things that doctors said would never be overcome. Never, never, never. But hey, that's their limiting belief set. That is not mine. So that's why I have been able to, because I didn't accept what they told me. And also, deep inside, I knew. I've always known, because again, it's past life experience too. And it could be that you have past life experience that you would be able to pull up. Certainly, we could access through our DNA memory things that would just blow your mind. And then the mantras. Find a mantra that resonates with you. Find 2, 3, 4, 10, or just one. It doesn't matter. But these will absolutely change your life because they are gifts from the golden age that will tune our chakras, clear our pathways, open our hearts, and expand our consciousness.
And just to help, you know, if you're brand new to this, you are looking at mantras, start with Ganesh. That's tradition. That's how a lot of people do it. And it gives you an aim and a focus so that things aren't so big, because we do have to go at these things in baby steps. If you try to bite off way too much, you're just going to lose interest and walk away. And I would hate to see that, because it is such a blessing when you are able to go outside your understandings and look into these systems and help heal yourself from a very, very, from a childlike standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. And that is a very, very powerful one. Sharanam Ganesha. So I hope you guys have found this interesting. Hopefully it'll get you guys into a regular practice if you're not doing one yet. May you all be blessed by the true creator of this universe, and may love and light abound in your hearts as your consciousness expands.
Namaste.
Namaste.